We here at Sports Best Friends acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as the traditional custodians of the land, water and sky throughout Australia on which we record. We recognise their strength, diversity, resilience and deep connection to country. We pay our respects to elders of the past, present and future as they hold the memories, knowledge and spirit of Australia.
Here's Wallace. Oh, the under for Fafita. Fafita, he's already got two. Put him down for three. David Fafita.
Hello and welcome to Bad Life Titans. I'm Matt. With me is Trent and Tommy, and we are three gentlemen who have made bad life choices as end up Titans fans. We're back after a few delays. We've had a few bit of life issues over the last couple of weeks, and to be honest, we've been a bit depressed. So, yeah, here we are. We're back, and probably begrudgingly. Boys, how are we?
Yeah, good, Matt. Good. Recovered. Over it. I'm happy again, I hope. But yeah, I'm crawling through the week into round nine.
Ready to be hurt again.
That's it.
Tommy, how you going, mate?
Depressed. Yeah. Pretty much I'm set up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just been one of those weeks. You know, you've had games where we've had 50 put on us and I don't feel anywhere near as bad as well, what we experienced on a weekend.
Nah. Well, two weekends in a row, really. Like, the Broncos one, probably not as shocking as what this one was, even though we were probably in command of that game for 38 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, yeah. And then this, but yeah. Anyway, we'll get onto that a bit later. We'll, yeah, how have you guys gotten over all this? How have you been dealing with it?
No, I'm going to be honest, lots and lots of alcohol on Sunday, that's for sure.
Because you were there, right? You were up at Suncorp.
Yeah, I was down there. So, yeah, it was a really, really good afternoon for rugby league, to be honest. But unfortunately, it got ruined in that second half. And yeah, as I said, I think I drank a Caxton dry, and yeah, the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah. Tommy, what are you been doing to get through it all?
Well, I don't drink, so that was out of the question. Just trying to forget it pretty much as I can, just not think about what I witnessed and try not think about, you know, the Titans. And yeah, it's just been one of those weeks where I just kind of forget that, you know, Teamless came out yesterday. And to be frank, I only saw the Teamless today. Like, I've been trying to scrub the memory out of my head of that game. And
yeah,
just disarray.
Of course, like, it was Anzac weekend, so there was just footy all weekend, just to remind you just of how absolute dog shit it was. Anyway, let's move on. We'll get to the news. A bit of NRLW signings, of course, because why not? They just keep signing everyone. The Titans have announced international young guns to join the top 24. The Titans are pleased to have signed Chantry Kiriaratu for the upcoming season, with the young gun aspiring to make her NRLW debut in 2023. Proud product of the Future Titans program, the 18-year-old graduated from Rugby League Nursery Keeper Park, of course Keeper Park, at the end of last year, after having also spent the last two seasons learning from the main squad as a development player, and will now join the top 24 after also starring at representative level in touch footy. The talented playmaker also made her international debut with the Cook Islands at the Rugby League World Cup in the UK in late 22, after previously representing Queensland in the under-19s Origin Clash. Karen Murphy is thrilled to have the Titans junior progress through the club's top roster. Chantry is really exciting young talent who I'm really excited to see continue to grow after such a strong start to her career at only 18 years old. A core strength of her game is her athleticism, silky ball playing, and kicking game, which is a big reason why she'll be a huge asset for us in our upcoming campaign. She is also another junior local that has excelled in our future Titans pathway, coming through at both club and school level. Knowing how committed Chantry is to continue bettering herself on and off the field every day, I'm really looking forward to her joining our top 24. Titans are excited to announce New Zealand rugby seven star Niall Williams will join the NRLW squad, calling the Titans home for the next two seasons. 34-year-old strike weapon is set to switch codes at the completion of the Rugby World Sevens next month before making the move to Australia to fulfil her rugby league dream. Key member of the Black Ferns since 2015, her son of dual code international Sonny Bill Williams, the sister of dual code international Sonny Bill Williams, has been a household name in New Zealand for almost two decades, succeeding in both rugby union and touch footy. Goes on to say how Niall has a famous surname, but she's a very talented athlete on her own. It's included being past Olympian, Commonwealth Games medalist, and with the Black Ferns, and long-time successful touch footy representative. Niall will bring an incredible amount of experience, professionalism to our squad, and her extreme athletic ability, speed and agility is why she is a very versatile player that will make a valuable contribution to the team. In extension to her playing ability, her values, passion, and rugby, we're excited for Niall to reach new heights on and off the field with us here at the Titans. All right. There we go. Two pretty big signings for the girls. It's good to see some juniors, like the pathways for the women is starting to take fruition. The Gold Coast has a pretty big women's comp going on down there as well. So it's good to see that there's an actual pathways for the kids to come through as well.
Yeah, it's really good to see. With Williams coming to the club, that has me really excited. Obviously, we've got Hawaii, who was a rugby sevens player herself, and look how she's come out into the game and, really taken it in a stride to get better at rugby league. And I think Williams will be exactly that. She's, from everything I've been hearing, watching, seeing, she's an absolute gun. She's quick, she's strong, she's agile. She'll just get in and do the hard yards. And having played that rugby sevens, her speed will be a great asset, especially on the centres. Her defence will be better. I'm really glad to see her coming. And with Chante Kiriaratu, there were big talks about her making a debut last season, but unfortunately she didn't meet the age requirement. But, now that she's 18 and play in the big league, I fully expect her to have a big part in this comp this year for us. She, like I said here, she made an international debut for the Cook Islands. She represented under-19s Queensland. And from memory, she was pretty good in those, and there's a lot to get excited about, Ratu. And we've Fui Mayano coming to the club with Polite and Brown staying, I think she will have a really good opportunity to really develop and grow as a seven. I fully expect her to be the number seven first round against the Cowboys. I think it is our first game, but I fully expect her to be donning the number seven jersey and really taking it on herself to be star player for us. And obviously, don't want to put too much pressure on her. I haven't been in 18, but there's a lot of talent there. And also too, I think as well, we've brought Brooke Sadler and Sophie Buller, graduated from the Coast Development Squad as well. Which is again great to see two other girls come through at the development squad and getting into the main squad. Yeah, it's just really good to see all around. And I can't wait till, I think it's July, the comp starts. Yeah, July. So I can't wait to see it happen. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Something to get excited about while the men stink it up again. And we can, yeah, always, it's always good to have the girls on. And it's having the bigger comp, it's going to be quite an exciting comp. I think it should be quite level playing field across the board. So we've got the draw out as well. I'll just bring that up. Where are we? So that... where are we? Here's the draw. So the Titans will kickstart their upcoming NRL season with back-to-back Queensland derbies, as revealed in the release of the 23 season draw. Titans will travel to Brisbane for the local derby against Broncos at the Gabba on Thursday, July 27. After the trips to Sydney and Newcastle, the side will return home in round 5 to face the Tricolours before further games at Seabus, round 7 and 8, with the penultimate being a standalone NRL doubleheader at home. So the season, there's a lot more about how many home games and that we've got, but just going through the draw now, the Titans start on July 22nd at home against the Cowboys, then up to Brisbane for at the Gabba. And then away with the Sharks, Knights away. And then they've got the Roosters at home, which would be a huge one. Dragons away, Tigers at home, Eels at home, and then the Raiders away. So this is the most home games the girls have played, isn't it, Tommy? I think they only played one or two games the previous year.
Yeah, no, it's been the most... home games the girls would have had. They had, I think, Newcastle home last year. And then I think, yeah, no, sure. I think it's pretty much that. Yeah, this is the most girls are going to have at home. And, you know, I think they don't know if too many of them clash with them, like, up before the men's games. But, you know, it's still great to see. And, you know, I think they'll really enjoy having that home crowd, you know, 4 times this year. And, you know, the Gold Coast fan base are really getting behind the squad, and, you know, it's just really good to see.
Yeah, no, it's good. Trent, you got anything you want to add to those stories, mate?
Look, I think it's really good. You know, a lot of these girls are coming from the Gold Coast nursery, and I think with the Titans coming into the NRLW competition, the time that they did, I think they've really kind of taken that stranglehold back from Brisbane, because they were kind of, you know, getting in there, getting those Burley players and, you know, a couple of Tweed players at the start there. And, you know, they had a lot of success off the back of those players. But, you know, it's good to see that, you know, these young girls are wanting to play for the club. They want to stay on the Gold Coast. And even like seeing Williams, she's going to be working with Kiera Park. That is so good. Like, you know, can you imagine like the quality that we already can see that from the men. You know, imagine the quality coming out of the women, coming out of Kiera Park. I'm really excited for what the future holds for the women's game on the coast.
Yeah. Well said. I haven't got the story up here, but the hit pieces for Holbrook are already coming out. And after the back-to-back comeback losses. Look, I don't think he's in trouble at the moment, but if we don't see any sort of improvement over the next 5 to 6 rounds, I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing some rumblings. If by chance, hypothetical, Holbrook gets a flick, out of the people that are available, I mean, Flano's basically come out and said we can't afford him, and we probably can't, because we'd have to supplement his Fox Sports income plus his Dragons income and whatever else he does. money aside, what are your favorite? What like what would your be? What be, what would your pick to replace Holbrook be?
Oh gee, like I think Hasler has to be there. You know, he's probably one of the more quality coaches that are not tied in with a club at the moment. But you know, this is just like, you know, left field. But I think I've mentioned this in a chat with you boys. But I really like Neil Henry, I really do, and I feel that his time at the club came to an abrupt end. And it was through that Hayne saga that we had. And I feel he was unfairly dismissed. And if there's water under the bridge, I'd really like to see him have a second chance. And, you know, it could be like, you know, assistant coach or in a different sort of capacity, but I would like to see him back at the club. I think he's a quality coach. He did good things at the Cowboys before Paul Green took over. And, you know, he did good things with the Titans when he was here as well, got us to that final series back in 2016. And he's like kind of been around the Origin team on and off over the years as well. So like, I'd really like to see him back, but, you know, probably unpopular opinion for a lot of people, but they're my two.
Yeah. That's not a bad shout. For me, like Flano for me is target number one. But for left field, I wouldn't mind seeing Mick Potter. I thought he did really well with the Doggies at the end of last year, and I thought he was a bit unfairly treated, like not unlike Neil Henry at the Tigers. He was a victim of the Tigers' own failings, internal failings, and yeah, Potter would give you. I mean, Flano would give you that hard ass starch. That give us an identity, whether we like it or not. Like the Titans are like 16 years in or whatever it is, and we still don't have an identity, and it's really frustrating. Like the Dolphins already have their identity, like they're just going to be a hard nosed, tough, never say die team. So yeah, I mean those have been my two picks, but who knows, Tommy?
Yeah, I mean. I think, yeah, Shane Flanagan's obviously, I think, pick number one. You know, he's the best coach out there. And I think this year we could be able to get him because I don't think he has anything with Fox now. I think he's with Manly, full-time assistant. I could be completely wrong with that, but I don't think he has as many commitments as he did this time last year and whatnot. But then obviously... Trent brought up Des Hasler again. You know, Des, one of the better coaches out there in the market. It's kind of bad for both of them because they both have their positives and negatives. Yeah, obviously, Flano involved in a big drug scandal and the last thing the club needs is something like that. And then obviously, Desi, you know, screwed Bulldogs over so many years with that salary cap. And, you know, same thing. We don't really want that to happen again at the club. I think for me, again, Neil Henry, I think is a very popular answer still amongst a lot of Titans fans. You know, if Trent here was very unfairly given a boot all those years back. And yeah, the one that's out of left field for me is Jeff Toovey. I really like Toovey at the Seagulls. I think he had him go really well. I think he'll be almost perfect, especially with a young Tanner Boyd and Toby Sexton, Tommy Weaver coming through. They would learn so much off him. And he's the sort of guy that might put up with bullshit. You know, he got Manly to the grand final, he got them to numerous finals. The only year he didn't get Manly to the finals was the year where Cherry Evans pulled their dick around to get the 10-year deal. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple of options out there, but knowing the club, we'll probably have some fucking chasing Nathan Brown by our luck. Yeah. But yeah, look, I think overall, I think Flanagan, Toovey, Flanagan, Hasler, Henry Tovey, and the last, like, this is at the bottom of the barrel, I would probably maybe chuck in Michael Maguire. I know he didn't do well at the Tigers, but like you said, with Mick Potter, Matty, you know, the Tigers have Tigers, and I think, you know, Maguire, there is a good coach there, and I think, you know, there is genuine talent here, there is genuine promise here, and I think he could deliver it, and he won't be someone that'll beat around a bush, just like the other four. You know, they won't beat around a bush, they'll tell it as it is, they won't, you know, go, oh, the guys try hard, like, they'll basically say we were shit and we need to be better, and they will show that in training, you know, you need to be better. So yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he's hoping that, he's hoping that Holbrook finds a way to dig himself out of this hole, but it's not looking good at the moment.
Here you go, David. Go and get another try. Your third.
Yeah, we go.
Okay, moving on to the recaps. Not going to lie, these aren't going to be too in-depth. We're just going to – I'll give you the scores to these, and then we'll go over our talking points for the last 2 weeks. I think we all know exactly what's happened and yada yada. So just to recap, the Titans lost 26-43 against Brisbane at Cbus Super Stadium. And they also lost 28-26, 26 points both times, at Suncorp Stadium just this Sunday past. A few key points for me. The rot starts with a shit kick in our own territory. So the twice in both games, we fuck up with kicks in it, whether it be short dropouts or chips in our own territory or just sloppy kicks and sloppy play in general. Broncos game, the two kicks, like JC in the first half, which basically swung momentum back to Brisbane's way. And who was the second one? Was that that was Foran, I think, in the second one. Just, I mean, they were unlucky to rebound the way they did, because they weren't, especially JC's, but like they're low percentage plays. And especially JC's was what, 45 seconds from halftime. It's just so frustrating. And then the game on Sunday against the Dolphins, we're up 26-6, and we do a short drop out, give them the ball back on their 10, they score immediately. And then when we're under the pump, we just start to get a little bit of momentum offensively, and we're on the 30, and Foran just kicks it back to them, but he doesn't hoik it. He just kicks a 10-meter chip kick to who was Zarko on the wing or whoever it was on the wing, and just gives it straight back, and they score again. Like,
yeah,
Foran is here to be the level head, to guide them out of trouble, to calm these idiots down. What the fuck is he doing? Why? Why is he here if that's the case? I don't understand. Like, can someone make sense of it? Like, yeah. What's going through his brain?
Obviously, I wish I could say, like, it was a stressful situation, whatever, and he's, like, you know, psyched himself out, but it wasn't. Like you look at all of the Dolphins tries, like, they're all pretty soft. Like, especially Jared Wallace one, I think that's the one that really hurt. That was the, you know, he literally just fell over. They're up the other end, so I didn't see it up close. I think I didn't even watch the replay, to be honest, but, you know, it was just that, yeah, he just fell over the line, like, killed us up the middle. Like, I think my concern from the Dolphins game, to be quite honest, I'm sorry I'm not going on the Brisbane game, but the Dolphins game, for me, it started with the bench.
Yeah.
So we have AJ comes back into the side. We've got Jaden Campbell playing utility. Cruz Leeming, don't know, what's he, backup hooker, or was he playing in utility? I don't know. Aaron Clark and Thomas McKaylee.
Yeah.
Like, McKaylee played 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Aaron Clark played 40. Like, all of our, like, to be honest, I think that the game probably was, like, we were gassed, absolutely gassed. But, like, I see improvements with the bench this week, but, you know, I think that's what killed us in the Dolphins game. The blokes had no energy in that second half, and it showed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's surprising, too, because we were absolutely steamrolling them in the first half. We were running through their middle like a Japanese bloody sushi knife runs through tuna. Like, it was easy. It was just carving butter. And then the second half comes out, and as you said, Trent, they were gassed. They had nothing. And at one stage, we had Clark, JC, Leeming, and Randall on all at the same time. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Scratching my head.
Like, we've got to start making some hard decisions. I thought Leeming was used very poorly, used for way too many minutes. I kind of liked how we've been using him in previous games, where he just comes on for the last 30 minutes of the game and rips apart a tired defense. He's been sort of the scapegoat here in this one and been left out. But the reason why Justin Holbrook's getting a lot of blowback from this game is because of his bench rotation and his bench usage and the fact that he ran such a small bench against that's the Dolphins' strength, is their forwards and their middles. Of course this was going to happen. And we need to start having some tough conversations about what we do with JC, because I don't think we can hold JC and just keep him as a utility. And I don't think he's not going to force anyone out of the centers. He's not a hooker. I don't think he's at the point where we can put him in at 5'8". I think he's too. I don't think he has, especially with Tanner Boyd, I don't think he has that structure. I just don't know what we do. If he's not fullback, then he shouldn't be on the team. And I hate saying this because I love JC. I think he's a freak, and I want to see him in Titans colors, but I just don't know how he fits. Leeming works well with Randall, and Randall played one of his best games for us. That first half was amazing. That bench was just, we all had concerns at the start of the game before the game started. And I thought 26 points would have been enough, but apparently it wasn't. And I don't even think 34 points would have been enough the way they were playing. No.
Well, there's that try where Jennings thought he scored a try on 10-meter line or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So should have been more, but you know, it's a simple fix there. Like, you know, I think Holbrook should have just gone, am I playing Jade? Am I playing Leeming? And then kept Cleese on the bench. That's what I think. Yeah. And you know, maybe the same thing would have happened. I don't know. We wouldn't know, but I would have been a lot more comfortable. But, you know, I said to my mate, like, before the final team list was announced, I just thought, you know, Holbrook's going to do something dumb here, and AJ is going to play, and Jaden's going to play on the bench, and Cleese will drop out. And, you know, I was right on the money. If I was a betting man, I think I would have won a lot of money. But, yeah. You know, it's just, it just killed us. Yeah. Just killed us.
Yeah, sorry, Tommy.
I was just going to say, I just want to know why Michaela only played 12 minutes. Like, I want to know why that's the case. Like, it was the only other true forward on that bench, and yet he doesn't get more for 12 minutes. I don't get that. Like, it doesn't compute to me as to why he only got 12 minutes. Was it, you know, is it because he's been in Super League for some time? Is it because you know, he had a niggling injury. Like, I don't understand why he didn't get more than 12 minutes. Like, once, like, the game shifted once Leo Matano came off, because they were dominating the Dolphins' middle. They were defending the middle really well, them two. And as soon as they took them two went off, it went to shit. And I think, you know, if Thomas McKaylee had gone on and stayed on a lot longer with Aaron Clark, I don't think it happens as much.
He tried, like, yeah, I think he got, I honestly don't know. Like, he brought Jaden Campbell on when we were under the pump.
And we had
Leeming and Randall and JC on and Aaron Clark, like, and McKay's on the bench.
Yeah, it fucking boggles my mind as to why he didn't get, at a very minimum, he should have played 25 minutes in this game, at minimum, you know? And if he wasn't fit enough, he should never have been announced in the original squad. He should have been Funa.
Yeah.
You know, it just baffles me. Like, if McKaylee and Clark had gone on at the same time, played the same amount of minutes, and Antino and Liu comes on, I don't think we cop as bad as we did through the middle. But, you know, for whatever reason, it just went like that. Or at the very least, I know it's not the world beater, but at the very least, should have put Stimson in the middle. Yeah. You know, yes, he misses a lot of tackles, but that's because he makes a lot of tackles. I think that's what you said, Manny.
No, it wasn't me. It was our mate, Cal.
Oh, Cal was that shit.
Yeah.
But
he's pushing Joe Stimson to win the Dally M, so who knows?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But, you know, like, if that's the case, chuck him up in the middle. And I don't give a fuck if you put a second row, but that middle part of the game for us was so important to us scoring 26 points. As soon as that went away, we just collapsed. Something shocking. And it just baffled me how, like the boys, like both of you have said, like, why on earth would you have Chris Rand or Cruz Fleming and Jaden Campbell all on the same time? Like, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. Like, this isn't somewhere you can just chuck your smallest players in and expect them to do well. Like, fuck. Like, just looking at, like, the Dolphins bench, I had Wallace, Nichols, Ray Stone, and Kurt Donahue. I don't know who that is, but, you know, two props and a second row / block compared to Chayna Campbell, Weaving, Clark, and McKaylee. One prop, one makeshift block, one scrawny fullback, and a guy that's barely played two games of NRL. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, in what world does a professional coach look at that, look at the Dolphins forward pack and bench, and look at our forward pack and bench, goes, oh shit, that's a great forward pack, let's just go small ball and decide, let's just play all these. Oh, fuck. This is one of those games where I was pissed off throughout when we were losing. And as soon as the full-time whistle hits, my anger just turned to complete disappointment. Like, it's just so demoralizing to see that happen again. And I think, since 2021, I think this is about the sixth or seventh time this has happened where we've had a 14, 18 plus lead and we fucked it up.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, I think, three or four Brisbane games in recent years where it's been like that. We had the Raiders last year, we had Manly game, and now we have this one.
Titans are responsible for the three biggest comebacks in history of the
NRL. It shouldn't be like that. And I feel that as well is where this talk about Holbrook is coming on as well, because, you know, you're getting a lot of people saying it's reactionary. I don't think it is reactionary. I think it's a case of this has happened too many times in very quick succession. Not even our worst teams. I mean, insane about like our worst teams weren't ever getting 26 points up and head, but even our worst teams were able to hold somewhat of a lead for longer than, you know, fucking 10 minutes. Well, you know,
none of the wooden spoon teams ever gave up 26 point leads or whatever. Like,
no,
it's just ridiculous. What can I?
Yeah,
this is the whole reason why we got Brett White. And like, what the fuck's going on? Like, what all this bullshit about the fucking boot camp that they did at the start of the year, how it's changed them, and they know how to dig deep and they know how to work hard. It's all just bullshit. Like, what is all this? Like, what's the point? Stop feeding us. Stop giving us all this lip service every fucking year. We're a brand new team and yada, yada, yada. Just shut the fuck up and do it on the field. Like, give me a full season without one of these fucking things. Like, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's been something I've really been annoyed with the Titans for a long time now, is they always talk. But as soon as it comes to actually walking and walking, putting the real hard yards and really putting in the effort, we don't see it. We don't, you know, witness that on field. You know, each week it seems to be the same story of, oh, you know, we try hard. We've got to be better next week. Just do it. Don't keep saying it. Don't keep talking about it. Actually do it. Like, just can't understand it. And like, fuck, do these guys not? I swear there are times when I look at this club and think to myself, do these guys really truly understand that it's 80 minutes of football? Like, do they actually comprehend that this is an 80-minute game?
Well, like, apparently not.
Yeah. Like, your entire...
Sorry, mate.
I was just saying, like, your entire junior, your entire, you know, senior before you make any professional level. You know, not that I know professionally, but just as a junior in high school and all that, the biggest thing your coaches push into you is play the entire game from start to finish. You don't quit if you're 20-0 down. You don't quit if you're 20-0 up. You play the entire game. You make a point, you know, and it's something that these guys would have been taught when they started as six-year-olds to now. Like, it's not a foreign concept. It's a simple fucking concept that should be drilled into their heads week in, week out. And the whole thing of it's a young side, for me, that doesn't really come into it anymore. I mean, AJ has played, I think, 100 games now for the club. Kelly has played nearly 100. You know, Sami, you know, you've got Kieran Foran, which it baffles me how it just doesn't seem he can calm his side down, which is scary. You know, Mo's played 100. Randall, you know, admittedly hasn't played that many games, but he's, you know, I think 26, 27. You know, Tino has, you know, played a fair few now. You know, Fafita, Stimson, Liu, like, age-wise, yes, it's a young squad, but experience-wise, it's getting more and more, you know, it's getting bigger by the day, the experience, but we just don't seem to get the simple concept of 80 minutes.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem to exist. And I can't understand it, how it's not drilled into their heads every single game.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the biggest things I can remember, and I know professional football versus high school football is completely different, but the concept is the same. I remember we had a coach, we were leading something like 3rd and 0 at halftime. The coach basically drilled it into us for the entire halftime. He just drilled it into us. There's still 40 minutes left. There's still 40 minutes left. There's still 40 minutes left. And he goes, if you even let us get anywhere near, you know, I think he said like 18 points, he said he'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
And we understood that shit, okay, this is, you're still in another 40-minute game. Like, yeah, sure, we had the game won then, but we still had to play those extra 40 minutes. And, you know, it's not fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's just pissing me off.
We need to talk about Tanner Boyd.
Origin.
I know if he's cutting up oranges, maybe. He is a warm body out there, and that's pretty much it. He's a good goal kicker. He's played seven games this year, one line break assist, two try assists, two forced dropouts. That's it. In seven games. How often did we need, especially in that first half when we had him on the ropes? I'm pretty sure their first try was scored. We'd been camped down their end, and Tanner Boyd tried to get a grubber kick through and it ricocheted back. They get it back. Still not six again. Oh, there was the fourth tackle or something. They get the ball back. He goes to kick again, and then he knows he can't grubber through, so he just loops one over. That's 3 meters short of the try line, and the Dolphins get the ball back, and then they run themselves up to the other end of the line. Something needs to happen with Tanner Boyd. Someone needs to teach this kid how to kick the ball in an attacking manner that gives the team repeat sets of six. Because two forced dropouts in seven games, especially when we had so much ball in their half at the start, the Dolphins should never have got the ball at any stage in that half. We had them on the absolute ropes. And the fact that they scored a try at all, let alone even have the ball, is just a joke. He offers nothing in attack, apart from just being a link man to Kieran Foran or AJ or JC. The right side is just a death zone for attack. I just don't know what we do with him.
It's time to consider bringing Dexy back.
Well, he's
I know he's injured, but...
But 100%...
Is it time to give the Kieran Foran and Toby Sexton combination a go?
I think so. I mean, I'd even give Tom Weaver a crack at this stage until Toby's ready.
I've got no arguments with that. He's been playing well in Q-Cup and...
Like, I think he's a bit too young to be thrown in for a full season, but give him a couple of games. See how he goes. Wait till Toby's fully fit and bring Toby back with a bit of confidence and Kieran Foran there to help him. At least you know Toby's going to kick the absolute piss out of the ball at every whatever he can.
Yeah. Well, I think when you look at Foran and the halves partners he's had, Foran does his best when he has a halves partner that has multiple kick options, that can run the ball and isn't afraid to put himself into the line. That has been DCA his entire career.
Yeah.
And I feel with Toby, he would get that. He would get the long kick game, the short kick game, the variety kick game like DCE has. He would get maybe not as much as a running game, but I think Toby has started to improve that running game and he puts himself in a line, Toby. And I feel when you look at his best years for him, he's been able to play off the back of that halfback who does that. And with Tana, you know, he runs the ball, but his go-to kick is the midfield bomb, which just pisses me off all day. And then, you know, anytime he does put himself into the line, it just doesn't seem to work. Like, I just don't get it. And, like I don't – it's a hard one because, like, I like Tana. He's a good kid, but like you said, it's a conversation we've got to have. And realistically, his performance – I just don't think he's been anywhere near a lot of fans say he is. Like, they keep saying, oh, give him time. I mean,
they never gave Toby time. They absolutely crucified Toby.
Exactly. Or K&L, you know, look at, hell, bring Ash Taylor with for it. Like, I don't care. Give a hit. Like, I just can't understand it. But is it the coaching as to why we don't seem to have any fucking variety of our kicks? Like you look at your dominant halves in a game, you know, Cherry
Evans.
You were
about to say Jamal Fogarty then, weren't you?
Yeah. Oh,
look at Jamal Fogarty.
Jamal, yeah. Yeah, big film bomb expert.
Yeah, that's where he's
yeah. But, you know, you look at DCA, Nico Hines, Nathan Cleary. What do they all have in common? Variety. Yeah. And Tana Akamoto just does not have that. And it just seems to be, if it doesn't work, he won't try it. Like you said, he puts in a crowd, but it doesn't work. So it just goes straight to just kicking it for the sake of it. And I just, I don't know. It just annoys me. Like, put it aside. Stuff that seems to be very common sense just does not seem to be very common sense at the club.
Yeah.
Probably one thing that Tana is, he's a player who gets short on confidence a lot, and it shows in his game. Like, he might play, start off really strong, but, you know, might concede some points. He might miss a tackle or two. And I find that he just kind of just, he goes into his shell a bit. And, you know, that's I think that's where a lot of those silly kicks come from, like, you know, those lofty bombs just to no one, or I think you called out with that Dolphins game there, Matt, before, you know, kicked 3 metres from the try line and, you know, it led to, you know, Dolphins possession. Like, it just, yeah, I just feel like he's just not, you know, he's a player we all want him to do well, but I think 7 games in, like, you know, we're out of 2022 now. He did that magnificent field goal against Warriors last year. That's out of our minds now. Like, we're kind of looking for results now, and he's just not doing it. And, you know, he's a solid player, but, you know, maybe he just needs some time back in Q Cup. Like, as you said, give Weaver a go, straight swap, bring Sexy back when he's fit. Like, maybe Tanner just needs a bit of time in Q Cup just to get that confidence back and, you know, get back to the top of his game. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's something more going on. But
he's basically at this stage, he's Luke Brooks that kicks fucking goals. Like, and that's, you know, like, all I want is for the Titans to do it. I want whoever's out there to succeed and to do the best they can. But it's not happening. I'm surprised we're scoring as many points as we are, in all honesty. Because how, like, with Tana and Kieran Foran there, Kieran Foran's only got 4 line break assists and one try assist. Like, how are we scoring all these points? Serious question.
Is it AJ
or is it just we've got ball playing forwards? Like, I think it's a lot of it's the structure we have in the middle with our forwards that are able to pass the ball and create space for guys like AJ and Sami and Kelly to get through. And then obviously AJ's just a creative genius. But yeah, it just boggles my mind.
I agree. Like, you look at David. Like, I can't say David's had a bad game this year, to be honest. Like, I feel he's been solid, and I feel a lot of, like, you know, his opportunities are coming off David. I think he said you hit the nail on the head. Like, I think that Cowboys game, he got 2 try assists. You know, Mo's been solid. Like, he's getting right up the middle, and, you know, gaining a lot of meters. And, you know, as you said, AJ, he's sniffing around back there. Sammy, he's been great. Like, you know, our wingers are getting a lot of those, you know, those meters up the field, like off back kicks. Like, it's, you know, we're really, well, I don't know, I feel like it's coming from all over the park. But, you know, it doesn't come without those shitty errors. And I think the errors are things which we are killing us, and just the dumb plays and the, like, we're not closing out games, we're not protecting the lead, we're not playing, like, when we need to go back to playing, you know, back to basics football, we're not doing that. we're trying to be flashy. We're trying to, you know, that try before halftime in the Brisbane game. JC should have just took the tackle, held on to the ball. Then it's just set, kick it into touch. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden you've got, I think we had would have had what, 8-10 point lead or whatever it would have been. Like, and that would have been probably give us a bit of better position to go into the sheds than just conceding a try and then going up shit. We've got to try to keep going here. So I don't know. And same thing happens in the Dolphins. Like, they scored late in that first half and they got momentum off the back of it, and it's just same old, oh, let's go stand behind the post for 40 minutes while the other team catches up. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like the Titans, if they're not grossly in front at halftime, they're in the game. They know they have to fight and they have to work and that they dig for it. But it just seems to be the game plan. Like, just stand on your try line and let the Titans score 30 points in the first half. And then all you have to do is come out and run hard and they'll capitulate. It's pretty fucking embarrassing, man. I don't know how these guys...
Yeah.
I don't know how these guys can look each other in the fucking face. Anyway. I don't know what to say. Like, and how do you fix it? Like, you know, we said all year last year, get to the boot camp, start, make, you know, put some fucking, you know, give these guys some hardship training and learn how to dig deep and sort of pull into the reserves and fight for each other. They did that. And then they spoke about it and they started to show it at the start of the year. And then what? Like I don't understand. I just don't understand. Like, is it personnel? Do we need to just sack everyone and start again? Like, keep AJ, keep Dave Fifita, and then start again. Like, Tino and Mo, and that's it. Get everyone there and just whole new roster. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's – I mean, obviously, we don't see what happens behind the scenes, but what we're seeing on TV, what we're seeing, you know, after the game and the sheds at press conferences, it just doesn't seem to be any form of intensity from Holbrook. And I get he wants to try and be, you know, sort of diplomatic, you know, really have the guys enjoy coming to games. But there's a point where, as a coach, you have the responsibility of getting these guys to understand significance. And it does mean that sometimes you're going to have to blast them to really get through the head. And I feel if this is what's happened with this group is the last several years, I've had a coach who genuinely wants success, but they're not being blasted for it. So whenever they have bad losses like this, so they, you know, they say they know what it, you know, they know what it means when they lose these games. But when you're not hearing that sort of from the coach, that assertiveness or aggressiveness about, I don't know. I feel like sometimes Holbrook's just a little too soft, and it reminds me of Garth Brennan. Like, one of the biggest stories I remember about Garth was after a bad loss, he took the team out to fucking bowling.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to understand. And I don't know whether it's because of people at the higher ups at the club or the players, Holbrook just needs to let go one day and just tell it as it is. Stop going with the whole, oh, we've got to try hard. Tell them that it's fucking embarrassing. Tell them it's a shambles. Tell them and really get it through their heads. You know, and like I said, we don't know what happens behind the scenes, but for what we're seeing on face value, I don't think I've ever seen him burst up once.
Nah.
Like, bro, Bellamy would have had a heart attack by now with this squad.
Bellamy's murdering children. If this happens,
yeah, like, he's kidnapping all the kids and holding them hostage. Like, you know, like, I feel to some extent that's where it is coming from. There's this attitude of, oh, we aren't just, you know, we know we play badly, but we also know we're not going to get blasted at halftime or full time for either way. Like, you know, and I feel, again, I feel, and just touching back on Holbrook situation, I feel that's where a lot of it's coming from. It's not so much just now, it's looking back at the last 2 years, and it's looking back at, you know, I can't recall a time when he really, truly just looked at every single one of them in the eye and sprayed them. And I mean, crying out loud, Garth Brennan did that against Manly when we were down as much and we won. Like, it just...
To be fair, Garth Brennan
it can be hard. Yeah, it can be hard for coaches to do that. I get that. But at the same time, you also have a duty to get the best out of your players. And sometimes to get the best out of your players, you've got to spray them. You've got to let them know that they are playing shambolically. You know, but it is embarrassing. It is pathetic to see this sort of thing happen. And that's where it comes into the conversation of maybe if we do bring in a Des Hasler, Shane Flanagan, Tuvey, Henry, or even Michael McGuire, maybe we might see that sort of thing change. And I don't know. I don't know. It's just, it's embarrassing. It's frustrating. And I just, I'm not excited for this week's game against Manly, especially with Lofi up against Jason Saab. That's dreading. I think they're up against each other, so I'm dreading that.
Brent, you got any final thoughts on this game or the games?
Yeah, I'm never going to watch a replay of it ever again, so that's all I've got to say.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put that to bed.
I'm no expert. I just love the game. But more than that, I love the community. If you're a fan of rugby league or the NRL, you'll love Big T's Tees. Unique, affordable, and made for fans. Find a link to the online store in the show notes below. You'd look good in one of Big T's Tees.
All right, let's move along to our preview for this weekend. The Gold Coast Titans take on the Manly Sea Eagles down there at Four Pines Park on Saturday afternoon, 5:30. A few changes to the Titans side. A lot of scapegoats. A few ins too. Aaron Schott makes his return. He makes it onto the extended bench. Joe Werner, Sam McIntyre and Tom Weaver are all included on the extended bench. The Titans will line up with AJ Brimson at fullback, Loffy and Sami on the wing. Oh, so did they change? Did Fifita play on the wing last week or did he play centre?
Off wing.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I think it was wing, but I feel like I swapped.
Yeah, I thought.
Joe was on.
Yeah, okay. Loffy and Sami on the wings, Kelly and Fifita in the centres, Foz and Boyd in the halves, Mo and Tino in the front row, Chris Randall starting hooker, Fifita, Stimson and Lou in the back row. The bench, which gets a little bit of a shake-up, Jaden Campbell, Aaron Clark, Cleese Haas and Joe Werner makes his return. Look, Manly are pretty shit hot at the moment. They're sitting second down at home. The return of Foz. They look like they've got a... I'm just going through the... God, yeah, they've dropped... what's his name? They're 5'8".
Oh, Schuster.
Yeah, they've dropped Schuster.
Schuster, yeah.
They've dropped Schuster and Cooper Johns plays. So,
that's
Garrick's playing centers.
Yeah, Garrick.
Yeah, Parker's out. Yeah.
Turbo's on injury cloud.
Parker out is a big loss for us. And this Tupilotto is a big fella. I think he's lining up against Loffy, Tommy, as you were saying, and you thought it was Sam. Yeah. Patu Pilotto, I've watched him a bit. He's a big boy. Look, I don't fucking know. Who knows?
Half.
Look, to be honest, I hope Manly are up by 10 in the first half. And yeah, because it's the only way I can see that the Titans don't just capitulate and score 300 fucking and concede 300 fucking points in the second half. I just want to see. Yeah. I just give me an 80-minute performance, please. That's all I want.
It's just the same old story, Matt. Like I'm comfortable with 1 to 13 on the team sheet.
Yeah.
It's when we get to 14, 15, 16, 17, our bench. Like I'm more comfortable with this than what I was last week, to be honest. But I think it's just the same old thing. Like, is Jaden really, is he really utility or 14 or like,
no, he's not.
Like
what, he's wasted.
What is he? Like, is Aaron Clark there as, is he going to be playing prop or, you know, lock, or is he going to be there? Is he going to come back up hooker? I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know what goes through Holbrook's head. Like,
I agree. I think, like, I said it in the group chat, Leeming should be playing 14. Clark, I'm happy with. Police, look, if you're going to play Clark and JC, we can't run Cleese as well. He's too small.
Yeah,
we need to have bigger bodies on the bench.
Yeah,
just, we're going to get steamrolled once again.
Like I wouldn't mind seeing McKaylee have another opportunity, but more minutes. Maybe bring him earlier on the game, or
yeah, I mean, or give him at least 18 minutes.
Yeah,
it's just, I don't know.
I think with McKaylee, sorry, Trent, just while it's in my head, with McKaylee, it should just be playing 15 minutes in a first half and playing 15 minutes in a second half. Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Joe Vuno, like, yeah, whatever. He hasn't been terrible. He hasn't been great. He's been a, you know, a number 17 and serviceable. But yeah, I just don't know. I don't know. I'm very interested to see how the boys respond to the criticisms they've copped, the embarrassment they'll be feeling again. Like, they've just had their pants pulled down in front of 50,000 people again. It's going to be, and I'll be interested to see how Holbrook responds and whether he starts doing all of his dumb shit again.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if seeing Sami named on the wing, I wouldn't be surprised if Shop makes his return if he passes fitness. And either JoJo or BK comes out. I wouldn't be surprised if JoJo gets pushed out, which I don't hate. I don't mind Shoppy. I think he's been fine. And JoJo was a little bit average on the weekend. But yeah.
Yeah. I think Shop's like, I was a little bit kind of unsure about him in, I think, that Tigers game, but he's actually really warmed to me in the centers. And I think he's been solid. He scored a try. Has he scored a try? Yeah, I can't remember.
He scored two tries.
Thanks.
Two tries. 10 tackle breaks, one line break, and he's made 71 tackles at 80%, averaging 100 metres a game.
Yeah, that's what you want. Like, and I think he'd be, you know, it'd be hard done by, as you said, if he's fit, you know, to not make the side. And look, I think I like Brian Kelly, but I think he's a bit of a hothead at times, and I find he drifts in and out of games. And I think he really excels with a player like Sexton in the side, but and also like Ash Taylor, but I know that's never going to happen again. But I just feel like if he's not being used correctly, I feel he's a bit of a passenger, but that's just me. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be an opportunity for Shop to come into the side as well.
Yeah, it's Kelly's a weird one. I was sort of off him. Well, 3 years ago, he was probably my the only player that I trusted in the Titans.
Yeah.
And then he fell off. I think it was the last year or the year before we were sort of we were off him. It might have been last year we were off BK. And
yeah, I think so last.
But like he's been reasonably solid, I thought, this year. I'll just bring up his stats here. What have we got? He's 5 appearances, 1 try, 2 try assists, 5 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks. Tackling at 82%, averaging 140 meters. Like,
he's actually doing all right, a bit better than what I thought he was.
Yeah, like, I'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, well, can't complain. No, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking about last year, or he's tainted me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was the same too. Like, I was always of the opinion that Kelly should be the first one out, but you know, like JoJo might need a bit. This is why I think we need to get JC back into Reggie's, because he just needs to have full. Playing him off the bench is doing him a disservice to his player development as well.
Get
back into Reggie's and get him carving everyone up. Make him force Holbrook to make a change, because at the moment it's just not happening. Like, just it's a disservice to the club. It's a disservice to JC, and it's just not fair. And like, it's not fair to get for what happened to Leeming. Like, Leeming did nothing wrong on the weekend. It was just used incorrectly.
He was.
But anyway, there's a reason why I'm a podcast host and not an NRL coach, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Look, I mean, Titans 13 plus, obviously, but I just don't. I really don't know. I just. The more you put on, the more you're going to lose.
That's it.
All right, Tommy, you got anything else?
All right.
I just wiped the screen to be over and done with. I'm terrified of Manly, no matter where. Just having major flashbacks to the last few encounters. Like, yeah, sure, we beat them last year, but they were shit at the end of last year. And, you know, this is a game where I think whoever wins, it'll either be within, like, a try, or it's going to be like 20 plus. I don't see it going any other way. It's either going to be a try in it or 20 plus. Like, but yeah, I think Manly with Cooper Johns at 6 scares me a lot more than Manly with Schuster at 6.
Really?
I'll say that. Yeah, I quite like Cooper this year at Manly. I felt like he was playing quite well. But, you know, I just want us to win. Just show something. Just show that you actually do acknowledge that you were shit last week in that second half and that you want to make it up. Like, just show it, please. I beg. Especially so I can stick to my best mate who's a Manly fan. So that'll be nice.
Just
to Tommy Coates.
Johns's stats here. He's played 4 games this year. 2 forced dropouts. 2 line break assists. That's it.
Oh, okay. I thought he was doing a bit more, but I don't know.
Yeah. Look, just want to see some heart from the boys, a little bit of ticker in just 80 minutes. Like, just give me something. Just give me something to make me not want to kill myself. That's all I want you to do.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I ask. The bar's that low.
Oh, I mean,
just
want
to be happy.
We're round what? Round 8, and I just don't want to have to kill myself. I don't think I'm asking too much.
Nah.
All right, so we put the tweet out before. I think we're done with that, aren't we? Let's just fucking get it over and done with. hopefully.
Yeah, no, we would have covered everything anyone had to ask. So, you know. We'll leave any questions.
And also you might have noticed we didn't do any voting. We're putting a halt on voting proceedings at the moment until these fucking idiots pull their fingers out. I don't think anyone was deserving of a vote, even though we scored 52 points in two games. No one's deserving of a point until they can show us that they've got a little bit of heart. Even if they lose this weekend, as long as they play with some heart and desire, that's all we really need. And we'll start voting proceedings. So, just a little bit of housekeeping too. I think Anthony will probably not be joining us again. He's off selling opium in Thailand or something. So good luck to him in that venture or whatever. I don't know what he is. He's dead to me now. But good luck to Anthony. He's off doing his gig up there in Bundaberg. Hopefully we get to see you on the pod at some stage. But Trent, if you're available every week, mate, we'd love to have you back every week. And yeah.
Yeah, boys, it's always a pleasure chatting Titans with you, even if it is down the dumps. Good to get a few things off the chest. So yeah. Always happy to have a bit of a yarn.
Yeah, good stuff. Alrighty, boys, that'll do us for that. I'll get back. We got 20 minutes left in the first half. Cowboys are getting their shit pumped in 32-6. Unlucky. I still can't believe, like, that's three Queensland teams that we should have won. Three games we should have won easily. We got unlucky against the Cowboys, so that's, I'm not blaming anyone, but that Brisbane and fucking Brisbane are so beat, and we just couldn't put them away. And that Dolphins game just shits me to tears. Anyway, see you next week, people. Have a good weekend.
See you, boys.
See you later.
Sports Best Friends would like to thank you for listening right to the end. You are our kind of people. Find other great sports podcasts in our family by subscribing. And remember, social media isn't a bad place. You just need to follow the right people.